Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, Homage t-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years. From the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee that LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. Better yet, three other tees designed specific to the Road Trippin' fam you'll want to check out. We're road tripping at homage.com. Hey, Road Trippin' fam, the time has finally arrived. Road Trippin' has taken on yet another life of its own TV show. Thanks to Spectrum Sportsnet and Uninterrupted, their patience, creativity, and kindness to trust us at something new and different, it's given us simply a chance to continue pushing forward on something we have really grown to love. Though you can still listen via podcast way, as you currently are now, just a few notes for you to remember. Yes, it is shown on Spectrum Sportsnet here in Los Angeles, but in the next day or so, we will push out a link via our social platforms, so keep an eye out, that will allow you to watch the show also. We will not leave you hanging, so stay tuned. But for now, enjoy Road Trippin' How You Know How. On this episode, which was recorded back in September, we finally got Richard and Channing's good friend and head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers to join us, Luke Walton. We talk life at the Waltons household growing up, Arizona life for both guys, the acting Luke has done in his past life, as well as spent some time reminiscing about a man that meant so much to Richard and many more, Big Rich. We hope you enjoy the new ride.
Cheers.
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 Richard, thanks for having me on.
Oh, honestly, it's my pleasure.
Welcome into another edition of Road Trippin'. I'm your host, Allie Clifton. He is Richard Jefferson.
Yes,
and joining us is, I mean, you got a lot of titles. You're a three-time champ. You're a Lakers head coach. But probably the best one is that Richard's your best friend.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
I did. It was very nice. And
he's like, he was.
You're not Richard's best friend. He's your best friend.
He is my best friend. I've guided him in our friendship for about 20 years now. So
yeah, yeah. And I as a true friend, he's never been on Road Tripping before. So I guilted it.
Why is that?
Because
all right.
Now, mind you, everyone that's listening to this, knows me and Channing well.
So
they understand why you might be a little apprehensive about associating with us.
Yeah. But there are also people like us that don't know the relationship of all three of you. And I actually have been wondering why, as best friends, you haven't.
It's like our friendship, we're like brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like if someone came to you and said, hey, we want to do a show on your family and tell us everything about your family. Like, I don't want that. we're very close and we've been through a lot together.
So you're saying Richard knows too much about you?
Well, no, but not just Richard. My actual brothers do too. I wouldn't want them you know, putting my business out there, and I wouldn't want to put their business out there. So,
this is him prefacing.
No,
this is him prefacing. Well, like,
I'm telling you why I wouldn't come on the. I didn't come on the show. I supported the show. I listened to the show.
You were actually kind of critical. You were kind of critical of it for a while.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No.
No, that
didn't. I mean, your dad was like our third guest.
I know, and he was awesome.
He was awesome. He was awesome. No one else talked.
Yeah.
No one else talked.
But that's why I didn't come on it. And then I'll let you tell the story of how I'm sitting here, which is it's still not funny, but
it's funny because that's the thing. Like,
fun.
Thank you, brother. So, I guess we can get into this because this will be the first time that I've talked about so when Big Rich passed, obviously the tragic events. We were actually here at this studio, so no one knew. I found out that night, right? So my uncle had texted me and there was some confusion. So I find out about it, and so I had a meeting here, and I was just for everyone listening, I'm in LA at the Spectrum Studios, so I was okay, just get through this meeting, Rich, and then you have nothing to do for 5 days. There's no expectations, no nothing. You could just kind of go in your own world. So I go to this meeting and I see Geeter. And so all of a sudden, all of our friends start texting yo, TMZ just reported this about Big Rich. What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And they're does Richard know? He's here at this meeting. And so I'm sitting in there talking to Jared. And as soon as my phone starts going crazy, and I was oh, well, everyone knows. And Jared's well, what happened? I was oh, my father died last night. And so the look on his face was just okay, should you be here? I was no. I just wanted to kind of get this done and then I can go do the things I had to do. So all of my friends, good friends, wouldn't leave me alone. They wouldn't leave me alone at all. And so me and Jared had talked about, this opportunity, this show, and bringing Road Tripping live. And so Luke is sitting on my couch with three or four of my other buddies. And he's Rich, man, whatever you need, man, we're here for you, we'll support
that
you.
That day?
No, it was over the next week, they were there pretty much every day in my basement. And so Luke was dude, man, look, man, I love Big Rich. That's my guy. I can't believe this. Man, anything you need. And I was hey, you want to do the pilot episode for Road Tripping?
Stop it. Sorry. What is wrong with you? Oh, my God.
Well, that was the thing.
R.I.P. Big Rich.
Yeah, R.I.P. Big Rich. But it was just, it's funny because he says it was kind of dirty how you set me up. Because I'd never asked him to do it before.
No.
You've never asked him to even come on?
No.
I was very clear to him that he didn't need to ask me. I wasn't coming on the show. And he's always been a bit of an evil genius, Richard has.
So really?
When he hit me with... it was Rich, again, it's a very serious, thing him and his family are going through. But it was I'd call him after practice, are you home? He'd be like, yes, but you don't need to. I was bye. And I'd hang up and I'd just drive to his house.
Yeah.
And we'd hang out.
Aww.
And he was I'm good. And then I asked him one time right before I was leaving, I said, seriously, anything, let me know. He said, I want you to come on road trip. And our other friends that were at the house had all known that I wasn't going to go on either. So everyone kind of just paused, and then we had a really good laugh over it. And I said,
he's
I guess I'll be in the you don't say no to that at that moment.
So where did this friendship start? At Bill's house?
No.
No, it started. No? It started in, actually, we were in high school. So we both randomly went on a visit. Arizona just won the national championship. So we both went on a visit, and so we meet on the visit, and I knew we were both the top small forwards on the West Coast. It was me, him, Tayshaun Prince, and so I just heard of this kid Luke Walton. Quick story: one time I had played against his younger brother, and so I played against his younger brother in a tournament, and I heard hey, one of the Walton boys is on that other team. So I went out there and destroyed him. I was super focused, and then I found out it was a younger Walton. So it was it was toughy. So it really didn't do much for me. And so then I went to Arizona. We both went on our visits there. What do you guys say? Tuffy was two years younger.
It
so
was
it wasn't
you know, in the movie Troy, when he thinks he kills Troy, but he really killed the cousin of Troy.
It was kind of anticlimactic. Tuffy probably had no idea why I was so amped up for the game, right? And they were all sophomores, and I was entering my senior year. But either way, Luke Olsen called me and was hey, there's a kid, Luke Walton, that's he just is such a big fan of you. He wants to kind of come on the visit with you. And I was oh, that's fine. And so And then we're on. Then we're on the visit.
Oh, go ahead.
Then we're on the visit, and the whole time he was just like, you know, kind of following me around a little bit, and we were hanging out.
Luke was following you around.
Yeah, he was following me around a little bit, and then we were just hanging out, and he was like, Richard, man, like, you know, would you mind if I like came to Arizona too? Like, you know, I think, man, it'd be really fun if like if you know I came to Arizona, and so. I was like, yeah, I was like, okay. And so like on, like when I was leaving Arizona, like I had like finished my visit and I was telling Lute Olson, I was like, hey, you know, my first visit, like you're not supposed to do. I was like, Lute Olson, he was telling me, he's like, hey, you know, what are your thoughts? And I was like, no, I really like it. He's like, okay. So, you know, the kid that was here, Luke Walton, like he wants to come here too, but you know, he only wants to come here if you're coming here. And so I pretty much
is
was like,
true?
No, it's not. I mean, it's his show, so I'm gonna let him keep going.
That's why we bring you in, because Richard's on every other show. Listen, and he tells these stories.
Can I finish the story?
Yeah, it's your story. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's your story.
So
it's
he
your
goes.
Your story. It's your show. I'm here to make you look good. Whatever.
He goes. Lute Olson was like, so
is this
kid.
Part
so
of the deal?
He was like, Luke Walton was like, he really wants to come to Arizona. Like, if you're going to come here, and he's like, do you mind? And I was like, at first I was a little like, kind of like, I don't know, coach. He was like following me around the whole weekend. I was like,
what do you, like a little brother? Like,
yeah, he was like following me around the whole time.
And it wasn't cool to you?
No, it was cool. Like, he's a nice kid. Like,
are
you know.
You're not, why are you buying into this? I'll just let him talk and then I'll tell you the truth of what happened.
And so the whole time, like Lute Olson was like, Richard, like, we would love to have you, right? But also the kid Luke Walton, he was like, and coach is like sitting here like convincing me that he's a pretty good player. And I was like, coach, I don't know. Kind of doing my own thing here. And he was just like, well, you know, the kid really wants to come, but if you're going to come, like, just let me know what's real. And I was like, coach, fine, he can come to Arizona and I'll commit too. Like, that was kind of like the story. And then like he called me, Lute Olson called me like a few weeks, like, hey, Luke Walton asked for your number, he really wants to be your roommate in college.
All right, so listen, all right, here's how it went down. We were both top recruits. No, and we can move forward, right? We can move forward.
Okay.
We were both top recruits.
Okay.
We came out on the same weekend.
Okay.
He said, I got two open spots. So we went out, Miles Simons took us out, Mike Bibby took us out.
One of your assistant coaches.
One of my assistant coaches, Mike Bibby, obviously played in the league forever. Those were our two hosts.
Okay.
We had a good time.
Okay.
We were 18-year-olds going to see Arizona. We were hanging out that night, and we were both like, look, I'm in if you're in. So he said, so
we have very different recollections of this story.
Yeah, I have the truth and you have your version. So he said, all right, let's see. Like, I'm in. Let's do it. Deal. So the next morning, I'm a little hungover.
You were hungover?
A little bit, yeah.
I didn't think I drank at the time.
You did not.
At that time.
You did not. I did. Coach Olson took me to the airport, dropped me off first, and said, look, we have two scholarships we want. Whoever takes them first. I said, coach, I'm in, right? And he said, well, welcome aboard. We'd love to have you here.
So you signed for, or you committed first?
Verbally.
Yeah.
And then he took Richard and went, because Richard was from Phoenix, that he was just driving back later. So he met them later, and he said, well, we got a commitment from Luke already. And he said, well.
So you were the follower.
He didn't follow, but I just met with coach first. But this is where, but we weren't even friends yet. Like, this was just like we were going to be teammates. This is where I knew we were going to become friends. So I got his number. I said, listen, we're rooming together. I said, what do you have? And he said something along the lines of, like, what was the game console back then?
I have a PlayStation.
PlayStation. I have a PlayStation and a VCR. I said, perfect. I have a TV and
a stereo.
I'll see you in 3 months. And he was like, cool. And we hung up the phone, and then we didn't talk to each other. So,
that was when
I was kind of like, all right, this is my kind of guy. Like, he's got what he's got. I got what I got. We'll see each other when we see each other, and then that's kind of how it started.
Okay, again, the story.
That's actually a pretty cool story. Like, I don't know why you needed your.
No. Okay, again, he's giving a very different version of the story that I remember. Right, I just remember like this like private school kid from Hillcrest, California, like following me around. That's all I remember, right? Like, again, like he said he was a little hungover, so maybe his recollections of the event.
Maybe you're a little.
I'm getting there, right?
This is why I didn't want to come on the show.
That's so, I thought, I think.
No, all kidding aside, Yeah, my story's true.
So that's when we first met. And then as teammates, we started obviously building bond and friendship. And then in the summertime, we'd go stay at my dad's house.
So tell us about that, because that was the first story he told. What?
You want to know about our college summers?
No, I think what was it like growing up in
Bill's house?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Bill's made it sound like you had zero supervision in your life.
No,
that you could where everyone wanted to be.
There was, we had a...
Look at him trying to process.
No, we had supervision. It just wasn't there all the time. So like...
Limited.
My dad obviously worked a lot.
Right.
My mother is a saint. She teaches parenting classes.
Yeah.
So she, she lived in a different part of San Diego, but we were back and forth to both of their houses. But when we got into high school, if we found out my dad was going on a road trip, we'd make sure to stay at his house for a couple days. If we got caught doing something, there was still consequences.
Oh, yeah, he kicked us out of his house multiple times.
Yeah, we've been booted.
Really?
And said not to come back for
multiple
weeks.
Times. Like
Bill?
Yelled. Bill again he's a saint in another way. Like he's a saint because he cares, and he was very good at shaping young men, right? As far as I remember the very first time I went and stayed, Luke got me suspended. But I kid you not. So this is what happened. Bill was like, hey, Richard, we'd love to have you out. But it was cool because his younger brother played at San Diego State. His older brother, Nate, played at Princeton. And then Adam played at, he went to LSU, but went to Notre Dame, a smaller school. So you have four Division I basketball players all living under the roof. So he was like, Richard, if you would like to come out, we would love for you to stay with us. So I was like, yeah, I get to get out of 112 degree weather in Phoenix and go to San Diego. So we would go out there and we would play in his backyard. We would play pickup. We would just argue. We would just hang out. And so the very first time Bill goes, Richard, I'm going to take you to the airport, right? So all of the guys are just Bill's taking you to the airport. Bill's taking you to the airport. So Bill takes me to the airport. It's just me and him, right? And I'm a little nervous, right? I know Bill, but I don't know him. And he starts giving me this dad speech, which is Richard, you and Luke are really close, and I've made a lot of mistakes in my professional career, and as you progress and become more and more of a man, I just want to make sure you understand the worst thing that you can do for others are things they could and should do for themselves. These are the speeches he's giving me as he's dropping me off to the airport at 18. Mind you, it probably didn't sink in until I was 26, and I was oh, that's what the fuck he was talking about, right? I was I get it now. But he was Bill treated all of us sons, right?
Yeah.
And it was just funny because as we got older, he would then yell at me I was his son. We would be drinking or hanging out afterwards and be Richard, why don't you go to your parents' house and destroy their house? These are the type of things. He would yell at us all the time. But it was coming from a dad's.
Do you have a story Channing told on our podcast of his first Bill
story? No, because all of the stories with Bill are the exact same story. You'd see him coming out to the hot tub naked at 8:30 in the morning. Yeah. Right. He would be there at 6 or something like that.
He starts his at 6.
He starts his at 6.
Yeah, you'd come out. Yeah,
he
get ready.
He starts his what?
Hot tub. So we'd come out getting ready for school, and he was already finishing his hot
morning.
Tub. But he'd be out there with the towel over his shoulders.
Naked hot tub.
Listen, Grateful Dead playing through rock speakers all throughout the backyard.
No, everyone's laughing, but it's not a joke. He legitimately...
And there was no sorry, boy. If we walked up, he'd be hello.
Hello.
Luke's
father, Bill. And I'm very respectful. It's how are you doing, Mr. Wald? No, Richard. Call me Bill. Yeah. Call me Bill. And it's just
While he was
naked, wobbling around, wobbling around on 19 reconstructed knees. But he would even after I got to the NBA, I would still go back there and hang out with them during the summer and train. So I would do stuff because I would be on East Coast time because I played with the Nets. So I'd wake up at 6 a.m. And I would be in the hot tub, and here comes Bill at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. How are you doing today, Richard? And it's just man, put your junk away, too. It's like, it's just, no. But that's him, and he would yell it. It's like, boys, no shorts in the hot tub. It's right, like, true. There's the detergent from the soap, it just adds way too many bubbles. Adds way too many bubbles to the soap. And it did, but it still was like, it still was a little something that was a little strange. Yeah.
Wait, the detergent on the...
The detergent from the... He told us we weren't allowed to wear shorts swimming because...
But that's like this, like, his dad is like a notorious hippie. Like, everyone knows that. Like, that's not, like Lute Olson used to make that terrible joke that Luke would, like, fail a drug test just off his DNA.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and he would say this, like, Lute Olson would say this joke to, like, thousands of, like, alumni and sponsors at, like, banquet dinners. He's like, so this is Luke Walton. We make sure he doesn't get drug tests because he would fail off his DNA. Right? Like, this is, and now Lute Olson's a 67-year-old man making this joke. It's like your granddad. But, you know, no, that was kind of like our summers was just kind of like hanging out, training, working out. And I think it kind of motivated us because we wanted to get to the NBA because if we could live a life like Bill, right? Yeah, like, that was kind of like the goal.
He was a role model. So yeah, to answer your original question, we had parents and structure. It was just a lot of freedom, and it wasn't always there.
He told the story for an hour, which was amazing. Again, on our episode, it was just like that's where you want to find your way to a house like that.
Yeah, well, I love
it. Lots of people
do. But it's different for everybody. Like my brothers didn't have the same experience as I did. Like when we talk about how awesome it was, some of them were like. No, it sucked. There was people everywhere. There was no, I'm not gonna call out who's who in this in case they're listening. But like, yeah, for me, I loved it. That's how I like living. I still like living that way. So like, if you're in town, you know, come stay at the house. And like, that's just the way I grew up, and I love living that way.
The funniest thing is like, we'd be sitting in the hot tub at like. 10 a.m., right? We'd be sitting there trying to figure out, like, what we were going to do. And, like, two random guys would get in the hot tub, and then we'd be just kind of sitting there, and these guys would be kind of cracking jokes and blah, 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 and they'd be vibing out or whatever. It's a big hot tub before people get any weird ideas, right? It's a really big hot tub. So all of a sudden, these two guys would get out, but he was like, oh, yeah, Luke, you remember back then, blah, blah, blah. And, oh, hey, do you remember that party, your high school graduation party, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, wow, Luke, how long have you known those guys? And Luke would be like, I've never seen those two guys before in my entire life.
What? You just have random people show up?
Yeah, but so much. That you just never questioned it.
No.
Like people would walk in and be like, hey, what's up? And then be like, I'd look at one of my brothers and be like, who is that? Like, I don't fucking know.
You know. Oh my God.
So it was.
The Grateful Dead used to do, like, they would throw after parties at Bill's. Like they would like take off like the tennis court and they would like set up their instruments and then throw like jam sessions.
Okay, I'm taking a sharp left here, kind of. Has it been hard making the transition from a lifestyle like that to now being in the position that you're in as a coach?
No, I think I think it's, for me personally, it's helped prepare me. I mean, like, as a coach, there's so many things coming at me all day. Like, I show it, like, late here today.
Like I'm
yeah, dealing... you were very late. Thank you for that, by the way, for acknowledging
you're
that.
Welcome. but there's a million things. Every single day that need to be addressed and done, and you know, talk to this staff member about this, and make your own decisions about what you know the team is doing that day, the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in hindsight, like growing up like that has really helped me prep for the wild, madness, chaos that is the life, the coaching life with you know it's all the different. Angles that are coming at you every day. So
that's
I think it's been a good thing. At least that's how I look at it. But I try to turn everything positive.
You try to rationalize it.
People be like, what are the challenges this year? I don't have challenges.
Have challenges this year?
You don't have opportunities.
That's
a mindset.
Okay, I'm going to stay on this for a second. I know we told you that we're not talking a lot of basketball. And we won't. This will be it, I promise. We'll get into your retirement and all that.
You retired?
Yeah, we're both retired.
I was getting ready to sign you.
We're both retired.
Is that why you're retired?
That's the only thing that prolonged my prolonged me announcing my retirement. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. You were going to sign me as a coach. Yeah. No one cares.
Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you talk about that and how it prepared you. When you go back to your rookie year, mm-hmm. and I know you've been asked this a little bit, the vets that you had,
mm-hmm.
right? most notably Shaq, Kobe, Karl Malone, Gary Payton. What you experienced then, and then fast forward, you become, I guess, playing under a guy like Phil Jackson, but then you become an assistant under Steve Kerr. Mm-hmm. Phil, Steve, guys like that, along with what you already knew coming up. How or what did they teach you when it comes to managing, because you talk right now about opportunities, mm-hmm. yet the challenges that we off on the outside would see. What did they teach you about managing?
Everything. It is, I mean, going into that, my rookie year, I remember sitting there and, like, even the first road trip, like, you get off the bus and they tell you, all right, we'll see you tomorrow. And all I knew was college and high school, obviously, at the time. And I was like, wait, what about team meal, video session at night? And the vets are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, go whatever you want. Yeah. That's what I gave you per diem. Go eat dinner. And, like, so I remember sitting there my rookie year just being blown away by this is the NBA. And these are the guys I've looked up to and watched for years now mm-hmm. as my teammates. But what I, you know, a common thread of what I learned from that year and what I've learned from, you know, coaching in Golden State with Steve and playing with Kobe for all those years is, you know, every other level is a dictatorship, at least in my experience. It's the head coach and he tells you what to do and you do it and you don't ask any questions. And I saw the power and the intelligence and the skill level of these elite players mm-hmm. and what they were capable of and the way they saw the game. And how strong it could be when the player and the coach are working, players and coaches are working together in what they're trying to accomplish, as opposed to just what I'd known at the time, which was just do whatever the coach tells you and don't ask questions. So I think that has been a huge influence on who I am as a coach. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to Golden State, obviously, watching the way Steve put it in mm-hmm. was, you know, was the same type of deal. Where it was, let's get these players bought into what we're doing, give them ownership of the team, and then we can coach the hell out of them because there's that type of trust and bond relationship built, which I like. That's how I naturally felt anyway. So like to see it happen was a great experience for me. And it was when I took over.
I like those Lakers teams more than I liked your Golden State teams.
You beat one of those Golden State teams.
Yeah, but it was.
You did too.
I didn't score a point.
Yeah, but you're on the. That's part of the culture. You're part of the crew out there. You're doing the sideline.
She tries to act like that, but there was some.
I am very much like that.
She's we so did it.
So I didn't score a point.
She was at the parade.
So let's say.
No, I was.
So if there was like maybe like another like sideline person like talking shit.
Okay, stop it. Now you're just starting. No, just stop it. God, now I get it. Now you're just starting
why
stuff.
Want to come on?
First of all, everybody, calm down.
Yeah. We're very calm on this couch over here.
Yeah. No.
No, I've never heard that, though. I've never heard a coach say, give ownership to the team. I've never, you know.
I believe that if the players feel that ownership and take mm-hmm. that ownership, they're a lot more invested in what needs to get done to win. And it's hard to win. It's really hard. You got to commit and sacrifice and fight through fatigue and injury and be away from your family. All these things that you have to give up to truly be a championship team.
Yeah.
I feel it's a lot easier to do when you're invested in it and you feel like this is my team as well. Like I'm not just a player on the team.
You have three rings. How many times do you make sure Richard remembers?
I don't, because I'm a good
you
friend.
You don't?
I don't. No. You know what he loves to do? Like, we're playing volleyball in the summer, and it'll be like 15, 12. And
I heard he's better than you at volleyball.
That's also not true. But he'll be like 15, 12, and they'll be like, someone will say something about a comeback, and he'll be like, oh, we got this. I've been down way worse than this. And, like, that's his go-to line. And, again, I could at that point be like, well, I have three of these things. But I don't because I'm his friend. And
You just did it then in that
I'm happy
moment.
For his success.
No. Because he's smart.
No, but this is the thing. Like, part of our, like, friendship is we both wanted the other one to succeed, right? So it was like when he, I think you were still in college, like he came out to New York and watched me in the finals. Like I was sitting there, I lost like his rookie year in the finals. Like I was in, I like went and watched him play in the finals. So like we've always like kind of supported each other. We didn't ever know that we were going to go head to head. And so I think I remember telling you this, Allie. I was like, you know, you were like, so what do you think about this Warriors finals and blah, blah. I was like, you know what my biggest issue is?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, the fucking guy on the sideline over there, I was like, the dude shits rainbows. Like Luke shows up. Luke shows up to Golden State. They win a championship. Next year, they break the Bulls record. And he's like, he wins like 25 in a row. I'm like, that's my biggest worry is that that guy's on the sideline. If there's any way this guy could get the flu. And then I remember after like you told somebody was like, did you go say what's up to Richard? He's like, I wasn't, but then I saw him crying over there. But afterwards, but the cool thing was, and like there's a competitiveness, cause like I think at that point in time, like he was a coach. So I think for him, his full on competitiveness was like, no, I don't care. Like that's, it doesn't matter. Friendship is like, I want to win. I don't care about my friends. But if there is one consolation, it's like if my best friend can get a ring playing basketball, right, that I already have two, dick. And so it was like, he was like, yo, then cool. Like, good, three.
Yeah,
no, I was
talking
about two as a player, yeah, two okay. as a player. So gotcha. You already have that on me. And I'm not going to get one as a coach because I hate players and people, so I'm never going to coach. You know, so I just don't have the patience for that. But I think the coolest thing was, you know, I tell people, it's like, yo, so how was it when you saw Luke the first time? The first thing I did, I remember we were at Gumtree right there in Hermosa Beach, and you know, he's got his son Lost and I got Little Rich, and I was like, hey, what's going on, champ? And he was just like, what's going on, champ? Right. And that was it. Like there, like we were gonna
Aww,
constantly
you two are so cute.
Stop it.
Please stop. Like please stop.
That's exactly how you just told the story. That
no,
you wanted someone to
for it.
No, but it's respect because he knows how, like, one, we both lost in that national championship game, which if he didn't have brittle bones and didn't break his thumb, like we would have been fine. Right. And then
it everyone else's fault?
No, because he did. Like if he would have been healthier, Gilbert was special, but had he been healthy, like he was our sixth man that year, and had he not broke his thumb, it was a close game, and I give credit to all the credit to Duke. Like I hate all of them, but like I give them the credit. Yeah. But like
Some of our guys in here have never heard road tripping.
fucking congratulations. Right? It gets better. No, so that was kind of the thing. Did I let you listen to the Gilbert thing?
You did. Yeah.
Yeah. So Gilbert Arenas, this is a random segment. Gilbert Arenas started a podcast. Good luck, Gil. And so one of the things he talks about, like me and Luke hosting him on his visit, and
you guys hosted him?
We hosted him on his visit.
Yeah.
At least he says. And they were like, so the guy like that was kind of interviewing was like, well, how was Luke? Well, Luke and Richard, they were good. He's like, no, they were the worst. They kept telling me that I shouldn't come to this school, right? Because that's just kind of like, we recruited people the other way. It's like, oh, where are you going to Cal? Like, where are your other schools that you're looking at? He's like, well, I'm looking at Cal State Northridge and Kansas State. And then we were like, I think Kansas State would be a good fit for you, right?
Wait, why?
Just to challenge
him.
We needed to make sure he was mentally ready.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He was.
Gilbert was really good.
We had a starting shooting guard, Reuben Douglas, started as a freshman.
Uh-huh.
And Gilbert came out on his trip, and we're like, we have a starting freshman. Like, why are you coming here? And he told us in front of Reuben, he said, I kicked the shit out of Reuben in high school. I gave Reuben 45. You think I'm afraid to come here and play behind him?
I knew Gilbert from like the pump camps and stuff here in LA. Like we had all kind of grew up together playing. But Gilbert showed up on campus and it was a joke. The dude murdered everyone, right? And Gilbert didn't know how good he was. Part of Gilbert's like gift and curse is that like he always played with a chip on his shoulder. But then it was like when he didn't need to play with a chip on his shoulder, it just needed to be smart. He couldn't do that. He had an inability to do that. But no, and then lo and behold, Reuben transferred. Like all these guys started transferring right away because Gilbert like came in and killed. But yeah, Gil, man, shout out to Gilbert Arenas. good luck with your podcast, man. I actually listened to it. It was really funny. If people get a chance to go listen to that.
Oh, you're serious?
Yeah,
no, it was. He did start a podcast.
And it was good.
It was good. But right. I feel like Gilbert's going to have a little trouble interviewing other people.
Didn't he interview himself?
Yeah, he didn't basically interview himself. He told his own story. He was doing that thing for a while with the porn star. What was her name?
Oh, yeah.
On Complex, Mia Khalifa.
Yeah.
Kids, don't Google that.
speaking of Google, I didn't know this until I Googled you today, Luke.
How'd that work?
Well, I found a lot of things.
Okay.
However, you started Young and the Restless?
So listen.
What?
I did an episode.
I loved Young and the Restless.
Yeah, you didn't see my episode?
I graduated that year, by the way.
I was into Passions at that time.
Yeah, it was fun. But I've always had, like, the mentality, like, I want to try new things, right?
Okay.
Like, you got to challenge yourself to get...
Hence why you're here, yep.
I'm only here because Richard's dad died. He pressured me into coming. That's why.
You have to know your friends. You have to know your audience.
I've never
asked him for a thing. That's part of our friendship. It's like, we don't really ask each other. We just hang out.
Yeah, so this isn't uncomfortable for me. Like, I'm saying, like, I want to try new things that are uncomfortable to push the boundaries and to grow.
Yeah.
So they asked me to do it. I hate acting. I mean, I'm not good at it. I know I'm not. But I said yes because it was the off season. I figured let's try something new. And Phil Jackson literally put it on every edit for like 3 seasons. Like anytime I did something bad, it would clip to be like, am I that predictable? Or whatever it was I
Stop
said.
It.
Oh, it was, have you seen it? Have you Googled it?
No.
Oh, it's the worst.
I didn't get to actually watch
so
it.
Yeah, it was worse.
I had more hair back there. It was the only good thing I had going for me.
Yeah, how's that?
It's bald, and that's why I have a hat on. I don't know where the cameras are gonna be, but.
No, that was so funny. Who were you with?
When
you said you were looking at the video?
Young and the Restless?
No.
Yeah, what are you doing? We're talking about Young. We're talking about the Y and the R here, right?
I saw it today and I texted Richard right away.
That's what we call Y.
Because he was like, let me know if you have any questions or want to talk about anything. And I Googled you and I was like, okay, we have to talk about this. And I put da da da. Luke starred in Young and the Restless?
The start is nice.
What was the cameo fee for that? You got your SAG card?
Yeah, I did. And I got like, for like 10 years after that, I got like checks in the mail for like $3.42, like randomly for residuals. But
were you ever in a TV show? Soap opera?
No, I can honestly say no. I was never that hot. The one thing he did give me advice on was the Sports Illustrated. So I did Sports Illustrid Swimsuit Edition, and you were what were you? Yeah.
You were in
like people's like what were you?
Bachelor's. I don't know.
Most eligible bachelor.
You were most. What?
Which to this day is my mom's most proud magazine I've ever been in.
Most eligible bachelor.
Yeah, when I first got drafted.
So he did most eligible bachelors, and so like a year later, the girl I was dating at the time, they wanted us to be in like the swimsuit edition. So I call him and I was like, dude, man, I don't know, man. I was like, should I do this? And he was like, Richard, what's the worst that happens? A bunch of people see you with a really hot chick. And I was like, all right, that's a fair point. I was like, that's a fair point. I guess I'll do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Luke's got some stuff.
He's guiding his life for 20 years now.
Oh, it's guiding a life. Yeah. Like, you're lucky I told Lute Olson it was okay for you to come to Arizona.
Listen, so he got, I moved to the South Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He moved to the South
Bay. Stop it.
I got married.
Stop it.
Hold
Wait,
on,
what?
Hold on, hold on. I got married. He got married. I started having kids. He started having kids. I told him about yoga and beach volleyball. His career was over like 4 years ago. He started playing beach volleyball every summer with us and opened his own yoga studio. And then all of a sudden he goes back and wins an NBA title and is like playing for another 4 or 5 years. So again, guidance.
Can you believe he played as long as he did?
No. Well, I mean, we used to tell him he won the genetic lottery. Like he...
Yeah, most of the things I did were to like hurt my body to try and level the playing field, right? And so,
but like if we started lifting, like he would get like too strong. Like he'd go for like football. He'd start looking like a football player in like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like so, he's
no man.
He's had a nice.
I got
career.
Like that.
Yeah, I was ripped there, dude. Look, I know people. We're gonna just make a bunch of visual references for people that are listening, so that'll be cool. For people that listen, wow, like that photo right there. No, but like you were talking about, you saw that picture of a Big Rich, and you were like, speaking of genetic lottery, like I see where you get it from.
Big Rich was
the man.
But all I've ever seen of Big Rich was
the
older
Big Rich,
big heavy, working the barbecue with a cigarette in his mouth.
You posted that in your story.
Yeah. So Luke and I, like, we've been friends for so long, but he was there. Like, I hadn't seen Big Rich. Like, Big Rich had some really, like, heavy, like, drug and alcohol issues. And so it wasn't that he wasn't a good dude or wasn't a great dude. He just had his own kind of journey. And I know people have kind of heard bits and pieces, but, you know, my mom always spoke highly of Big Rich, just said, like, hey, you know, and my mom remarried when I was, like, 20, or my mom remarried when I was, like, 7. So, like, I had a father figure, John. I love him to death. That's my guy. Luke knows him really, really well. But, like, Big Rich just had, like, real kind of, like, he just had drug and alcohol issues. And so that was part of the reason why my mom moved us from L.A. to Phoenix to get away from, like, South Central, Compton. And so Luke was there when I hadn't seen Big Rich in, like, 10 years. So, like, it was, like, I was, like, 8. So we were playing at Texas. We were playing at University of Texas. We had just beat them. They were 5 in the country. We were number 1. No one cares. And we go in. I had 19 in the second half. And so I was like, Luke. I was like, Luke.
Oh, my God.
It's the first thing he hasn't lied about since we did it. But he did.
It's the first thing I haven't lied about? I said we were friends. So he goes, I was like, hey. And that was like, again, man, you like look back on your life and you look at Moses. I was like, hey, do you want to come meet Big Rich? And we were like sitting in the hotel in Austin. We weren't old enough to go drink or do anything. You were like, sure. So my parents had like kind of like, you know, they took him to go, you know, kind of clean him up and make sure like he was cool. And we like sat across the table, and like you're sitting across from the table as like with like kind of like quote unquote, not a stranger, but just someone like I hadn't seen in 10 years. And I remember Luke was like, you know, just kind of like, what's up, Rich? And like, it was cool for like, so I didn't see, I saw Big Rich at 19. I didn't see him again until I was like 29, right? Because again, he still had like those issues. And at 29, he cleaned his act up and he was good at that point in time, right? Mm-hmm. Like he'd gone to rehab, cleaned himself up. Like he lived like from 29 up until just most recently, like he was good. But for him, like meeting Luke at 19, all both of us at 19, and then watching like Luke go winning championships and watching Luke be a coach, like he was so proud of Luke, like Luke was one of his kids, right? And so like we would all just hang out, and like you said, Big Rich would be on the grill like constantly, anytime during the summer, because I don't cook, I refuse to cook.
Well, that was we used to like my I told him like my one of the things I miss most about Big Rich is every time I would turn the corner, because we play volleyball out by where Medium Rich lives,
because there's little Rich too.
Yeah. So Medium Rich, Big Rich would be out in the front with a beer in his hand, a cigarette in his mouth, and I'm again most of the time running late.
No,
so like
way.
I just roll the window down and give him a Big Rich call out from the car, and he just starts laughing with this huge smile, and he always had like all mesh. Outfits on, like all one
with
color,
hats.
With like a top hat and a cigarette, and he just kind of laugh and smile, and then he, you know, are you coming over for the barbecue later? Are you on it, Big Rich? He said, you know it. I said, I'll see you later.
Player,
then.
What's up?
Player. So yeah,
aww.
He's
yeah.
Big Rich is.
No, Big Rich was great, and that was one of the cool things, man. It's like, you know, as tragic as it was, and it was tragic and shocking. Luke, fix your mic. As tragic and crazy as it was more about the time that we got together.
Yeah.
Because like when I tell people that, people are like, oh yeah, but like Luke really knows. Like Luke knows. Like, man, I remember when you saw him at 19, and then you didn't see him again until 29. But it also takes a certain kind of mindset. Like I didn't have any animosity. Like I understand people that have issues and things that they're dealing with, and like I was okay. Like mom, dad, father figure, you know, I was playing in the NBA, like I was doing my own thing. So, you know, like when he passed and all that stuff, and like, you know, he was 300 pounds with a heart condition, a lung condition, and loved cooking barbecue. Like the man could have gone a lot of butter.
A lot of butter.
Like the food, like that's why I said that when I said, like I posted that on Instagram, I was like, most people don't understand, like you could only eat Big Rich's cooking like a couple of times a summer, but it was amazing. And it was like, because he was a chef or whatever, and you know, I know people are listening to this. So many people reached out and so many people texted me, emailed me, called me, sent me messages on, like, and I didn't have any social media. Like, I had
showed
Snapchat.
Showed up uninvited.
Showed up, oh yeah, I had friends that showed up uninvited.
Every day.
Yeah. Every day. And it was so annoying.
He would just sit there and be like, can you guys leave now?
No, one time, so now? Like, it was Thursday? So, maybe it was Thursday I think it was Thursday because it was like, they were there all day, right? They were there all day. And then I was like, all right, guys, we were watching like Family Feud or something in the house. I was like, all right, guys, it's I appreciate you. And then Luke would be like, yo, we got a football game going. Do you want to get some action? And I was like, all right, the football game is about to start in 20 minutes. Fine. And then the next thing you know, it's like we had some action. And then it goes. It was a Cleveland Jets game. So I was like, look, people are not going to believe me, but Big Rich's birthday is 420. Yes, his birthday is 420. That just adds to the living legend that Big Rich is. Allie doesn't know what 420 is. it doesn't
is
know.
Is that funny, Luke?
I don't know what it is. Either. That's why I'm laughing.
You're lying.
You don't know what it is? Oh. So we bet.
You're lying.
Yeah, so we decided to bet 420.
Oh, you're just being a friend.
Yeah, he's being a friend. So we decided to bet 420, right? So it was like Cleveland, right? So it was Cleveland versus the Jets. Yeah. Was it the Jets?
Jets.
Yeah.
And so
Cleveland hadn't won a game in like 3 years.
They were favored.
First of all, it was not 3 years.
What was it?
They won one game in the last 2.5 seasons.
Okay, well, it wasn't 3 years.
Okay, wow. He's the person exaggerating.
Richard, so like, you won a championship in that city.
I love Cleveland, but I'm just saying the Browns, I didn't play for the Browns, but okay. The Browns hadn't won a game in 2.5 years. And so like my friends are sitting there and they're like, come on, like what's the action? Like, let's get some action on this so we can sit and actually watch a Browns game. And I was like, well, shit, I don't know. Let's bet Big Rich's birthday.
It wasn't just the Browns, though. It was Browns Jets.
It's Browns Jets.
It's not like it was Browns
Patriots
or Dallas. It was Browns Jets.
And so we were like, all right. Well, I was like, look, Big Rich's birthday is 420, so let's bet 420. So we bet the over. Was it the over? We bet the over.
I didn't gamble, but yeah.
Yeah. No. Somebody I know bet the over, and we bet for the Browns to cover, yeah. Right? Browns won both. Are you kidding me, right? Like, no, you bet 420 on both.
It was, there was the game that Baker didn't come until the half.
Right,
yes.
So, like, the Browns were getting destroyed. And they looked awful. They couldn't move
the
ball.
They looked like the Browns.
And then they put Baker in, and they came right storming they back, and he was
making
drives.
How's your college football team?
We don't have a college football team.
We're a basketball team.
But, yeah, and then I think I think the over was 39.5 and the total score was 39, something like that.
So yeah.
It was Big Rich looking down.
Big Rich already, like 420. Yeah. We won those two bets. And it was just, I don't know, man. It was like, I've already thanked him, but it was just like, I had a bunch of friends that were so, so annoying. And I didn't understand the importance of people being annoying in those moments, right? Because like me, I enjoy being alone in general. And I also enjoy being left alone, right? And it was just like to have like friends that were just forcing their way into my house, right? So like one of our really, really good friends, Nate, lives like two doors down from me. And so he would just show up. And he would show up with food, and he would just show like, well, I'm gonna order food, so I'm gonna bring you some food. And I was just like, dude, like, no, you're good, man. I was like, no, I'm just gonna just show up. Cause I wasn't really leaving my house, and my family was in I had another death in my wife's family. They were in London. So I was there by myself in the house, which I was cool because it was like, I get to grieve by myself. I get to be in my own space. I don't have to worry about people like, are you okay, this and that. But I think the cool thing was, is like, I had one friend, Justin Wessel, he showed up, right? So. And again, I have the best friends in the world. So Justin Wessel, he drove up from San Diego, and he goes, he was on our basketball team in college, and he goes, hey, Nate texted me and was like, hey, just so you know, like, Justin's here, right? And Justin was like, well, I didn't want to text you because I figured if I texted you, you would have said no, or you wouldn't have replied. So he showed up. And then I think Jesse came over, and somebody else called and was like, hey, is it all right if like Jasmine comes over? I was like, well, he's the first fucking person to ask to come over. So yeah, he's fine to come over. So the next thing I know, for like 2 or 3 days, I have like 3 or 4 of my friends like just in my basement watching TV, just hanging out. We're eating. We're watching football games. Just like anything to do to like take your mind off of like what just happened. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was crazy, man, because like Big Rich, like he was such a character. Like he wasn't doing anything. It was just, again, it's a sad, tragic thing, but it was like, He was just sitting on a corner drinking a beer, talking to like the people that he'd known for 20, 30 years, and he would go back there. It was 6:30, so it wasn't dark out. He wasn't like any place. It was just, again, a wrong time. And you know, that's what the cops, like the cops show up at your place at 1:30 in the morning and start handing you things, and then I'm next of kin, right? So it was just like, all of a sudden I'm next of kin of somebody that, like, again, I'm glad we're at that spot, but like I didn't know the man for 20 years.
Yeah.
And so now I'm next of kin, like handling things. So it was crazy, man, because, you know, my pops went to, Big Rich went to Morningside High School. My mom went to Dorsey, which is like, both of those schools are in the middle of the hood, right? And that's part of the reason why we moved away. But no, it was crazy. So, you know, I haven't had a chance to thank the fans, to thank, you know, all the people, like media people that I've connected with, teammates, like so many people like reached out, even Bron reached out and was just like, his message might have been the worst. His message definitely was the worst.
Right? Why?
What?
Why?
Oh, because it was like, he was just like, hey man, look man, I know you're going through a lot, but I respect, you know, I just want to let you know, like, I'm thinking about you and just understand that the man upstairs, you know, he doesn't make any mistakes. And I was just like, fuck you for being right. Right? Like, that's one of those ones where it was like, there was a lot of people that sent messages, and like, you know, I had different people that reached out, even people that I wasn't really like, you know, like super close with, but they just, you know, like Mike Breen sent me a really, really nice message recently and was just like, hey man, like, you know, I lost my father a few years ago. Whenever a man loses his father, it's a very poignant time in that person's life. And, you know, you read these messages and you look at things and you're like, man, you know, but I've had a lot of friends like go through this. Like, you know, his wife Bree lost her dad like suddenly. Nate, our friend that lived next door, lost his dad suddenly. So I've had a lot of friends that have had that, and we're kind of at that age, whether it's old age or heart attack or something crazy. Not many of them get shot in a drive-by shooting, you know, but, you know, Big Rich had a certain flair of his own that he just wanted to make sure he didn't blend in with the crowd, you know.
Yeah.
Allie, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. This is part of the grieving process. Allie's like over here, like, well, I have makeup.
So Rich got us, he got me committed to the podcast during this time.
Yeah, that's when I was like.
He also was very quick to point out to all the people, he's like, it's funny how all you motherfuckers that want to come hang out all day at my house are married with kids. And now you get a chance to come, like, watch movies all day and eat food and play video games. And now you guys want to be my best friends.
It was so funny. Justin was sitting on the couch. And he was like, we were sitting there and we were just drinking beers. And it was like maybe a boxing match or something, but he was there. And he kind of like laughed to himself. I'm like, what? He's like, man, I haven't done this in so long. Like, he's got three kids. So it was like, he was like, I haven't just sat on the couch with my buddies for like 4 hours and done nothing with no expectations. So, you know, shout out to Justin, Jesse, Jaspin, Luke, Nate, Nick, like all the guys that just kind of reached out. And like so many people, even like, again, like I posted that picture of Big Rich. I posted a video of him. I finally fucking broke down and joined like Instagram. It was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. It's the dumbest thing I've ever done. And at his funeral, right? So Luke goes, he was like, so the way the funeral was, in the background, there was like, you couldn't really hear because it was like, it's an old church in like downtown LA. But like this lady got up to speak and Luke was like, yo, Rich. You know that lady up there that like spoke like midway through? And I'm like, yeah, what's up? He goes, you know, and now Big Rich was known for his one-liners. Like, that was his thing. Like, he didn't even do it on purpose. That was just kind of his weird personality. And I think that might be why we got along. It's because our dads were so weird, right? And he was like, yo, that lady came up to me and was like, man, I love Big Rich, man. He told me, like, I was on his bucket list, right? And I was like, yo, she said that up there. He was like, wait, what? She said that up there? I was like, yes, during her speech. Like, family can get up, our friends can get up and talk. She literally got up and was like, yeah, I love Big Rich. He used to tell me I was on his bucket list. And I was just like, oh, man. I'm sitting there with kids. Yes, everyone laughing in the audience. Yeah, it was that absurd. But yeah, no.
It was a good line.
It was a great line. God, I know a lot of people are going to probably steal that line. Go ahead, please steal it and just cite Big Rich.
I think that's a good way to kind of wrap this thing up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to, but... Luke, you had such a busy afternoon. We're done?
We're done because you were an hour late. He needs to hit the one-hitters, though. Hit him with the one-hitters.
We are going to. We have something before we close out. for see, you. See, we like to do it on road tripping, which, speaking of social media,
we still have one left, so we can't be completely done.
We have not gone away. Many people are asking where we're going, what we're doing. Wow, as Richard, those that are just listening.
I'm retired.
Just took a wine bottle to his face. You know, we are on Twitter at Road Tripping Pod.
And it's not just a wine
and
bottle.
And we are, fact, touche. And we are also on Instagram at Road Tripping.
We're working.
But we love, what is it?
So, Camus.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
We do like to do this a lot. This is how we're going to end this.
We're going to get some sponsorships. We're going to do that. But that's the thing, like, see, it goes, how much time do we go for? This is when she starts getting annoyed. Like, shut up.
What? How was the question?
I'm saying we could have done this for another 30 minutes.
Yeah, at least.
So what we like to do is we like to do rapid fire. This is literally how I have to act.
Wait, I got one more story.
No.
I got one more story. Just one. Just one. Because it's about Channing.
How long is it going to take?
It's about Channing. It's Channing. It's like 8 seconds.
As long as it's on Channing, I'm in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's got to change her battery.
Go, you can tell the story.
No, I need this.
You don't need my response.
No, I do, because I need you locked in, because it is all of our road tripping fans. Like, if you guys listen to me and Channing all the time, and you were like, who would be friends with these two guys? Luke is our best friend. So imagine the three of us together. It is very, very special, right? So I tell Luke, me and Luke had some conversations about, like, you know, either helping out or just, like, doing some stuff with, you know, just the Lakers. Just, like, you know, hey, if you can, you know, contribute or if there's anything. We just had some conversations. I decided to go this route. Wow. And so I was like, Luke, just know that, like, if I were to help you out, I would be super, super professional. And he was like, yeah. I was like, how was it working with Channing? He was like... He goes, one, I asked Channing if there was any text message or any messages that he wanted. He's like, yeah, ask Luke why he didn't run more plays with me, right?
And we played him. He played more for us in this last few months than he did in the last 3 years of his career. Ever since teams started switching and taking everything he does well out of the game,
yeah,
he played more for us since that happened in the NBA.
So, Channing, just real quick, because this is Channing, right? So, Channing, you tell the story a lot better, so I'll set you up. But I was like, yo, like, just know I'm gonna be professional. And I was like, dude, like, full, like, whatever. And I was like, how was it working for Channing? Tell him what Channing did. Like, you were like, go ahead.
So I told Channing, because we've known each other a long time. And it's like, this isn't the first time I've, like, coached somebody I played with. Like, even in Golden State, I coached Andre. We went to college together. And then I played with Sean Livingston in Cleveland and Mo Spates in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Andre and Sean, I don't need to worry about having this conversation with, because they're professional and it doesn't matter. Like, it's going to be good either way. Channing, he gets here and I'm like, listen, Chan, like, you're my dude and we're really good friends, but, like, it's not our relationship here on the court isn't that. This is coach-player relationship. Like, I just want to make sure we know that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, of course. Like, I'm not dumb. Like, I got you. Like, totally cool. So,
which I'm everyone like, that's listening knows Channing and how this is going to end up.
So I walk in the film the next day, and I forget what I'm talking about. I say something about Channing, and he's like, come on, Lukey. And he calls me Lukey in front of the whole team, which is like literally my mother.
Luke,
yeah, that's like when my mom calls me and a couple other people. And like the day after we had the talk about like this is a coach-player relationship, he's there calling me Lukey in front of the whole team.
What did the whole team do?
They just kind of like, they had the same look I had. Like, what are you doing? Like, what? Did you just call him Lukey? You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, God.
No, the first time you told me that.
And then I pulled Channing aside. I'm like, dude, we just talked about this. And he's like, my bad. I didn't even know I did. I won't do it again. I'm sorry. I apologize. And I'm like.
But you can't, like, that's
yeah, you can't
anybody
be mad
that
at Channing,
knows Channing, right? Because he's just kind of incapable of having that focus. Yeah. He's like, hey, look, just be really serious. You're right. Hey, yeah. All right, guys. Hey, Lukey Dookie. You're just like, what the
fuck? On Channing, I got one more Channing story, then I'll let you go. So we're playing New Orleans, right?
Luke, yeah. If you would have showed up on time, we would have
all
these. I know,
but this isn't my fault. It is my fault, but listen.
It is your fault. You're the head coach.
So we're playing in New Orleans, and Channing's kind of new to the team. He's like, hey, let me add some stuff in. Because we love the players. Like, we'll ask them, what do you know about this guy? If he played with them before, just keeping them involved so they're not just sitting there like in a classroom. getting bored. Mm-hmm. So Channing's like, hey, when you get to Anthony Davis, I got some good stuff. Let me talk. I said,
and
all right.
Allie's laughing because she knows
I'm
Channing.
Like, we got to keep this quick. It's got to be quick. And he's like,
I got you.
Nothing.
Oh,
so no. We get there, and Miles is doing a scout. And he's like, da-da-da-da. I'm like, Miles, Channing wanted to add a couple of things. So he's got the floor. And he starts for 8 minutes going through every move Anthony Davis can do. So we can't let him go left. He wants to go left. When he pump fakes you, he's just trying to get space to shoot it. He's da-da-da-da. Like, and I'm finally like, all right, thank you. I'm like, Channing, all right, let's move on, Miles. So and Channing hadn't been playing up to this point because he was just new on the team. So he was still learning. So we're down like 15, and it's like, we need something. I'm like, Channing, get out there, go. And Channing goes out there, and AD scores like 19 straight. And he uses every move that Channing had just talked about. He uses all of them and scores on all of them. So AD finished the game with like 45, right? So last year we had like a young team, but as soon as we get back in the locker room, they're all killing. They're calling Channing small fry. And like, these are like young players, small fry. They're like, shit, Channing, who do we play next? So the Kings, DeMarcus Cousins or whatever, like whoever it is, like, well, just make sure you don't tell us. So like, the running joke for the rest of the season was, don't let Channing talk about any of the other team's best players.
That's
now, now we can finish.
Should we just end on them?
So what we like to do is just rapid fire. So it's a way for our viewers, our listeners, to get to know you or our guest a little bit more. So it's really simple, really
easy. I'm not here for me. I'm here for Richard.
Yes,
but you're here for Big Rich.
You're here for Big Rich.
Yes.
Okay, so they're really simple. They're really easy. You have to answer within like 3 seconds. Okay? They're really simple.
It's not that hard. It's not just...
All right, ready? Texting or talking?
Tough.
Oh my God!
Who are we talking about?
You got.
I mean, who like? To
just
who?
In general. Just in general.
Would you rather text or would you rather talk
to someone
on the phone?
Like a close person, I'd rather talk. To 90% of the people.
This is like Channing and
no,
Scott.
No, but in his defense, never ever text or call him expecting any
touché. Type of reply. We know that.
Never text or call him.
Cake or pie? Would you rather eat a piece of cake or a piece of pie?
Cake. Did you feel like you had to explain that to me? Yeah.
Well, you just took 10 minutes to answer the text.
Well, the
text
was
PlayStation, would you rather play PlayStation or Xbox?
That's not even a real question. Xbox.
I just asked you.
Xbox. That's my
question. Climb a mountain or jump from a plane?
Climb a mountain.
Kobe or LeBron?
That was me.
That was Richard.
Don't answer.
I'm good either way.
Don't answer.
Boring. If there is a what?
You wrote it. What are you talking about? Those are your notes. Like, wait, what?
It's the game. If there's a spider in your house, do you kill it or set it free?
Set it free.
Aw. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
If there's pepperoni and jalapeno next to it.
That's my God. That's
my dog. Sour Patch Kids or Swedish Fish?
Swedish Fish.
If there's a hair in your food at a restaurant, do you return it?
No.
With the part at the end.
Halfway through?
Do I return the food?
If it's halfway through.
I take the hair out and we can keep it
moving. You just keep eating?
Keep it moving.
Cardio or weights?
Weights. Cardio is, yeah.
What's worse, laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
Oh, hamburger or taco?
Taco.
Blinds or curtains?
What's the difference?
Joe Thomas was actually on road tripping and he said it was the worst thing in the world going...
Oh, they're
curtains,
expensive.
Yeah.
No, curtains are
shopping for
expensive.
Curtains.
Yeah, but I'd rather own curtains than blinds. Blinds, like blinds, those are like you have to like twist. That's
pancake
like,
or waffle?
You got too much money for that.
No, but it's...
Pancake or waffle?
Waffle.
Salt and vinegar or sour cream and onion?
Sour cream and onion.
Chargers or Rams?
Chargers.
Well, there you go.
I'm a Ram guy.
See, that was easy.
All right, close us out, Allie.
We appreciate you, obviously, coming in. I appreciate you. I don't know about Richard.
No, I do appreciate him.
We wish we could have spent 35, 45
no, I,
minutes.
No, I'm glad
with
that
you.
We got. I'm glad that. I feel like the next guest, we're going to need 2 bottles of wine.
Yeah. To Big Rich. Let's get one
to
last
cheers,
one.
Cheers to Big Rich, man.
Would you come back again?
You can pour it out on the carpet. Like, you know, yeah, pour it out for the homies.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I actually saw that at the funeral. Did you notice that?
We're done.
No.
Like when they were burying, like, yeah. Which I've never been seen that part of it.
Yeah.
Some of his OG crew that was there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There were some Compton people there. They had like a homemade water bottle, like
ready for that.
They just squirted it out. and then he'd take a sip and pass it to the other, like three straight times people. Guys did it.
No, there were some aspects of that like was very, oh yeah, we're in a different part. No, but I'll say this, good news is Big Rich is buried at the Inglewood Cemetery. So like, you know, when we're going to those Ram games or you know, by the Forum over there, get a chance to go shout out my big fella. So I'm actually looking forward to that. So Luke Walton, thank you for joining us on Road Tripping.
Oh, I thought we already ended.
It's been a pleasure for joining us. No, they're still recording audio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
well, in that case, can you shut up for a second?
What? Yeah. Okay.
If you're still following us on social media, Richard wants you guys to know that we are at Road Tripping Pod on Twitter and we are at Road Tripping on Instagram. And you are what on Instagram now? Because you're transitioning into your new life.
Richard A. Jefferson, and it was the biggest mistake I've ever made.
He's excited.
No, I kid you not. It was the biggest mistake I ever did joining Instagram.
I don't have it. And
don't get it, Luke.
We were driving home, and my wife Bree was like, "Oh, Richard just got Instagram, and he posted this really nice message about Big Rich." And she was like, "Damn!" And he already has 70,000 followers or hits. And my first thought was like, do 70,000 people really give a shit what Richard But then he showed me his phone 3 days later, and it was up to like 250,000 hits. And I was like,
I got in trouble in my own house already because of Instagram, because I've done nothing. All I did, okay, so Cleveland
fans.
We're going to keep talking. So Cleveland fans, I took the official little Kev, which we used to kind of do during our little thing. It was just a little like joke thing that we did, a little Kev little. So I switched it
basically
over to
Little Kev beat the Warriors.
Yeah, so I, it, yeah, he doesn't, yeah. So we like, switch it over, we switch it over, and it, I just had Instagram switch it to, instead of official little Kev, it's Richard A. Jefferson. So I had 70,000, or I had like let's say 55,000 followers that were following little Kev, which is absurd in itself that he was verified. So they switched it over to Richard. So Affy was like, "Yo, I heard you're on Instagram." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I posted this message, like, you know, my agent, because I'm entering broadcasting, they decide, they think that I really need to join this, and so I need to do this." So I deleted all the other stuff, and she was like, "Why do you have so many followers already? Who are you following? Do you follow me?" And I'm like, "I just got on it. It was literally Saturday night. I posted the thing Saturday morning, and I'm already having my first fight about Instagram. Like, how is that even real? People, don't join Instagram. I got into a fight on accident because of that. On accident. I had like a pre-existing, like, how long have you been on Instagram? This morning. I had no idea, because, you know, once Ron likes something, then all of a sudden, like, the whole world shows up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's the worst. All right, love you guys. That was, yeah, are we done? Do we have more wine? What's the story? Okay, good.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, don't forget, we're working with a t-shirt company that you may have seen around. Homage. They're the ones that are responsible for LeBron's Ultimate Warrior shirt and many of the college designs you see on tees. As they pay homage to great moments in sports and inspiring stories, go check out their NBA Jam tees at homage.com. You're sure to be inspired and will get a kick out of their special design for Richard and Channing, along with three other designs specific to the Road Trippin' fam. Get them while they're still in stock at homage.com.